This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we commence in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I send salutations of prayers and peace upon the finality of prophets and messengers, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, his companions, and all who follow him in righteousness until the day of judgment. Beloved brothers and sisters, mashallah, tabarakallah, today we have been blessed to have as our guest Dr. Bilal Phillips, alhamdulillah, the founder of the International Open University, IOU, and he's going to be discussing with us the importance of Islamic knowledge. فَلْيَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا شَيْخَنَا بَارَكَ
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah and may Allah's peace and blessings be on His last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. It is my pleasure to be with you today. It's tonight here where I am, and maybe this afternoon or the morning where you are. But it is my pleasure to share with you some thoughts on this topic, the importance of Islamic knowledge, a very important topic in the life of a Muslim. And the topic initially is directed towards the Latino community in the US and elsewhere, but due to the internet's reach, it is for everybody. First and foremost, the topic, importance of Islamic knowledge, has already defined what aspect of knowledge. It is Islamic knowledge. So it has separated what may be knowledge in general into two compartments, which is, and the other one, which may be secular, un-Islamic in one way or another. Although technically speaking, from the perspective of Islam, all useful, valuable, beneficial knowledge, all of it, is encompassed by the heading Islamic knowledge, because it all came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So Allah taught Adam the names of all things, the foundation from which things are categorized and put in different species and lists, and all of it was given, the core of it was given to Adam, and is one of the distinguishing features of human beings and the jinn. But what of course concerns us most is human beings. So Islamic knowledge, if we focus on the most important part of Islamic knowledge, we will have to say that that is knowledge of Allah. That is the most important part of Islamic knowledge. Following that It is knowledge about Islam itself. And included in that is knowledge about the Messenger of Allah. And then following that are areas of knowledge which provide life skills, how to survive in this world. And we put it all together and we are calling it Islamic knowledge. Now, how do we identify its importance? We look to see what Allah and His Messenger has said with regards to the importance of knowledge. We have a very clear statement, which I'm sure you've all heard a million times. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. Seeking knowledge is compulsory for every Muslim. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he put it in the category of the obligatory acts in the life of a Muslim, as praying 5 times a day, salah is fard, a farida, and fasting in Ramadan is fard, making hajj is fard if you're able, giving zakah is fard, making your declaration of faith is fard. The Prophet ﷺ also said that seeking knowledge is fard. Obviously, this is going to be according to the ability of the individual. It will vary from individual to individual, location to location. But as a general principle, we are enjoined to be of those with knowledge, fundamentally of the religion, a knowledge of our world enough to look after ourselves. So knowledge was made an obligation so that we don't fall into the trap of other religious systems that appeared in time. Some of them had revelation as their roots, but the roots are no longer visible. They just appear in various forms of idolatry. And in these religious systems, what we see is that there are special people, the priests, the high priests, who get the knowledge, and it is their realm. The common people are not encouraged to get this knowledge. The common people are not encouraged to read the scriptures. Leave it to the special group. You follow them, you'll go where you're supposed to go. But Islam didn't take that position. And Islam, not only as we know it today, but Islam all the way back to the time of Adam. Knowledge was always a requirement, because if you don't know who Allah is, then the likelihood of you worshiping Him is very small. Because Satan, satanic forces, evil, has clouded the way in order for people to be diverted from the worship of God, who they should be worshiping, Allah, to the worshiping of His creation. which is the norm that we find today. The mass of people in the world end up worshiping the creation of God instead of the Creator. I know people talk about the many religions in the world, but really there's just two. One religion in which only God is worshipped, and all the other religions in which the creation of God is worshipped. They share that common foundation of worshipping God's creation instead of the Creator, and only one on the other side worshipping God alone. So, Islam in the final form, as brought by Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, emphasized the importance of seeking knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ, he identified it as being among the obligatory acts of a Muslim, enjoined on each and every Muslim to his or her ability. Now, that obligation helps to ensure that the believer doesn't lose his or her way and get tricked into one aspect or another of that other religion wherein God's creation is worshipped. Even though those following these other religions may say, we only worship God. Yes, we're just worshiping God. They may even say there's only one God. But when you go in to the of what it is they're worshiping, or you see the images that they will give you of who God is, etc., then you will know they are not worshiping God. So the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, declared it an obligation, a religious obligation, a farida, a fard act on every believer to seek knowledge of his religion or her religion. To know who is Allah, what is the religion of Islam, who was the messenger who brought it, and also to have knowledge of worldly life skills necessary to exist successfully in this world. That's all included. Now, to further emphasize to us, to the believers, the importance of seeking knowledge, the Prophet ﷺ, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, he made the seeking of knowledge an act of worship. Ibadah, to worship God. When we seek knowledge, we actually are engaged in the worship of God. And all acts of worship, all of them lead to paradise. So the seeking of knowledge puts one on a path to paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ expressed it saying, Man salaka tariqan, whoever takes a path, yaltamisu fihi ilman, in which he or she seeks knowledge, sahhalallahu lahu, Allah makes the path easy for him, ila al-jannah. Man salaka tariqan, yaltamisu fihi ilman, sahhalallahu lahu tariqan, ila al-jannah. That's the Prophet ﷺ's statement. So it is the path to paradise. It provides the light and the guidance that keeps us on Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path that we ask for every day in our daily prayers. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. O Allah, show us the straight path. He will present the straight path to us, but we have to have knowledge to be able to recognize it. Because there are many out there saying, oh, this is the path. This is the only path. Many. And that's why it's important for us to gain sufficient knowledge to be able to distinguish that path, to know who Allah is, to know what the religion of Islam is, to know that path, the straight path in the lives that each and every one of us lives. So, seeking knowledge is an obligation. That tells us importance. It's a way to paradise. It's a means of worshiping Allah. Greater and greater importance. So, regardless of one's background, whether one was born in Islam or whether one is a convert, revert, one who has accepted Islam, it is important to have knowledge of Islam in order to also distinguish between what we may call cultural Islam from true Islam, real Islam, or Islamic culture. We have cultural Islam and Islamic culture. Cultural Islam is the culture of Muslim people, and it varies from place to place, nation to nation, city to city, all kinds of variations. Some of it may be from true Islam, proper Islam, meaning the Islam which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, may God's best peace and blessings be upon him. And most of it, or much of it, is not. It's just the cultural habits and practices of people in different places. Now, people who live in that area have associated it with Islam. And they think that this is Islam. We are Muslims. This is what we do here. So this is Islam. It's also part of Islam. But the true Islam, Islamic culture comes out of the implementation of true Islam. True Islam meaning Islam which was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and which he conveyed to us through his companions and their students, those who learned from them, passed it on, recorded it, handed it down to us. And it's here for us. It's not lost anywhere in the 1,400 years since the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hasn't changed. It's still there, available, accessible. That is the true Islam. When we implement that Islam, then a culture will be formed. That culture doesn't change wherever you go in the world. That's how you can distinguish between Muslim culture, or the culture of Muslim peoples, and Islamic culture. For those watching who are not yet Muslims, this is the distinction between the two. What we are obliged to follow is Islamic culture. the culture of Muslim peoples in different parts, you can take from it what you want. You know, if you like some of the dress that people in that particular area wears, as long as it complies with Islamic culture for dress, fine. Food that people eat, how they make their houses, all of this goes back to their culture, and it may vary from country to country, region to region. So, seeking knowledge of that is Islamic knowledge helps us to be able to distinguish between the two. Now, a person was born in a Muslim country where everybody is practicing Islam, or supposed to be, that person might feel there's no need. You know, I've grown up, everything that I've grown up with is Islam, and, you know, no need to look any further. However, there is a need. There is a need for you as a born in Islam Muslim, born in a Muslim society Muslim, or a Muslim family Muslim. There still is a need, because, as I said, there may be parts, a few or many, which your people are practicing which have nothing to do with Islam at all. Some of them may be harmful, dangerous, culturally destructive. So everybody needs to know Islamic knowledge. Everybody needs it. For one who joins Islam, of course, now you might be in a community where all the people are Muslim. You went to a Muslim land, you went to Pakistan, Bangladesh, Malaysia, Gambia, Nigeria, various countries, and you became a Muslim there, okay? So the people are already practicing Islam, but again, these are different Muslim cultures. The Islam, which is revealed Islam, may be mixed in with these cultures, and you're not able to distinguish between the two, but that's why you need to get Islamic knowledge, to get a clear picture, to avoid any kind of confusion for yourself later on. Or you may be in North America, UK, Europe, where there are Muslims around you who have migrated there and now live there, maybe one, two generations, whatever, they're there, they're practicing. And you will find some doing one thing, others doing another thing. And there are a bunch of things out there. And you may not be clear as to which way to go. It may be a bit confusing. You don't want to get caught up in that confusion. So how do you distinguish to find out which one of them is actually practicing proper Islam? I mean, proper Islam, you're going to know, in the sense that praying five times a day, okay, they all are doing that. No, that's good. You've got a piece of knowledge there. That's Islamic knowledge. When Ramadan comes, they fast in the month of Ramadan. Okay, that's solid. You're told about zakah. People are giving zakah, charity, obligatory charity, you do it. That's Islamic culture. Those are amongst the truly Islamic culture things. There's no question about them. They're all doing the same thing with slight variations, but they're the same thing. This is correct. Of course, it's good for you to study, to read, to understand, and to grow in that knowledge. To know it properly, you might find yourself knowing more in a short space of time than your friends and acquaintances who are from Muslim backgrounds. Because, as they say, familiarity breeds contempt. Now, people born into it just take it for granted. They tend to take it for granted. So you, as a convert to Islam, have to make an extra effort to get the clear picture, which is unconfused, without cultural deviations or inclinations or whatever. So, seeking Islamic knowledge is very important, of primary importance. And after that, we should seek also knowledge of this world to get an education. But this is a whole nother area of challenge. To get that education within the educational systems. This is why it's important for Muslims to set up their own schools so that they can ensure that Islamic education or an Islamized education is conveyed to the children of our communities, wherever they are. So that's the other area of thought and reflection. Furthermore, for those of us who are coming from different backgrounds, as we said, this original lecture was designed or dedicated to the Latino community. Due to one's limited Arabic, and that's why it's also part of your Islamic education is to learn some Arabic, so that you can get to the sources. It will help you in understanding the Quran in Arabic. I mean, of course, we have translations, but if you can get to the Arabic yourself, it will make the prayers and your Quranic readings and things like that more meaningful. So very important also to learn Arabic. But it is also good to learn it to learn about the deen in your own language. You know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the statement in Surah Ibrahim, 14th chapter, verse 4, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. Allah says there that I have not sent from among the messengers a messenger except with the language conveying to them the message in the language of their people, in order that he would be able to clarify for them. So learning in the language of your native language is very practical, very reasonable. And we don't want to say that the only way you can learn Islam is to learn Arabic. No. It can be taught in English, Alhamdulillah, I set up a university some 10 years plus ago. The International University used to be called the Islamic Online University. And it was teaching Islam in English medium, teaching Islamic law, Sharia, about hadith, tafsir, all the different fields of learning in Islam, taught in English medium. As a graduate myself from the Islamic University in Medina, where I studied everything in Arabic, I learned Arabic first, and then I went and studied and did a master's in Riyadh also in Arabic. My PhD was in Islamic subject in Aqidah, but it was done in Wales, outside the country, outside of Arabia. So the point though here is that when I learned all of this knowledge in Arabic, I felt it my duty to share this knowledge with others who would not be able to get this opportunity. So I became a teacher, a high school teacher, Islamic studies, Arabic. Then I became a university teacher after I got degrees. I became a professor in university, set up Islamic studies departments, then actually set up even university, Islamic university in India, in Chennai, in India. And then finally, I went online to try to get this knowledge to as wide an audience in the world as possible, to make accessible what was not accessible to me when I accepted Islam. I didn't have the opportunity to learn in English medium. So the International Open University provides a channel for you to learn Islamic studies, Islamic knowledge in English medium while learning Arabic, because it's a part of our curriculum to learn Arabic at the same time. So you have a chance to learn at your own pace, taking your own time. It doesn't have to be a four-year degree, whatever. You take the courses you wish, step by step, if you wish to complete it, along with whatever area you are trained in, specialized in, or currently a student in. You can do them simultaneously. We also have in the university Arabic, which is all Arabic course for you to learn specializing in Arabic. And then we expanded the university and started to offer what may be called secular subjects, other secular subjects. We started to offer education and finance, economics, and also psychology, business administration, information technology. But we made sure that we Islamized it. So education is taught from an Islamic perspective. I wouldn't call it Islamic education. It is education which has been Islamized. Economics, finance became Islamic banking and finance. Psychology became Islamic psychology. Business administration became Islamic business administration. Even IT became Islamic IT. So the university shifted its name to international because people were thinking that when we called ourselves the Islamic Online University, that we only taught Islam. So to open up the understanding for people to be able to benefit from the variety of other areas of learning that we are providing, but from an Islamic perspective, we changed the name. Also, realizing that some places, because, okay, we provided this knowledge in English medium, we're teaching Sharia, Islamic studies, we realized that some places like Indonesia, we had students there, but the numbers of people who knew English were limited. It's a small number. Majority of people speak Bahasa, a form of Malay. And for us to think that we're going to get all of the population, 300 million, to learn English so they can study with us was just ludicrous. So we set about translating our Sharia course into Bahasa. Alhamdulillah, we're almost complete. We're just completing the translation of the last two semesters now. And we have hundreds of students who are studying with us in the Malay language. We also did this in Russian. It's also available complete in Russian. Our same basic Bachelor's of Arts in Islamic Studies. And we began to do it also in Urdu, the language of many people in the subcontinent of India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, etc. And we would like to do it also in Chinese. And we have been considering trying to do it also in Spanish and Portuguese. We have some people working on it in Mozambique in Portuguese. So, inshallah, we do hope that we will be able to benefit the Latino community by translating our Bachelor of Arts in Islamic Studies into Spanish and Portuguese. So those are the plans. But in the end, it all comes back to our original topic, which was that of the importance of Islamic knowledge, seeking it because it is an obligation. Whether it's in English or it's in Arabic, or it's in any other language, it's our duty to gain that knowledge. Seeking it is an act of worship. It puts us on a path to paradise, as the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, informed us. And when we seek Islamic knowledge, we are dealing with the priorities of knowledge. Because the first question that we will be asked in the grave is, who is our Lord? When we die and enter into the barzakh, the state of the grave, we will be questioned there. This is prior to resurrection and judgment. And we'll be asked, who is our Lord? What is our religion? Who was the messenger who was sent to us? So these primary areas have been identified by the Prophet, may God's peace and blessings be upon him. Of course, he didn't die and come back to tell us. He was informed this by Allah. And for us to leave this world, we should leave this world clear on these matters, fundamental matters. As well, as we said, other areas of life skills, which are acquired knowledge, which is useful for us to live in this world. And we should know it from an Islamic perspective, or at least have enough knowledge, Islamic knowledge, to guide us in whatever profession we are in. Even if we are a taxi driver, or garbage collector, or a teacher, or a lawyer, or whatever we are, we should have sufficient Islamic knowledge to guide us in order for us to practice our professions in a way which is pleasing to Allah. That's the bottom line. We want to live lives which are pleasing to Allah. And we can only do that if we have Islamic knowledge. So that was the basic topic that I was asked to deliver to you today. And I hope that the concepts are clear. And inshallah, we will now pass things back over to Imam LeBron, who will field your questions, and inshallah we can try to look at any issues that may have come up from what I've said, which is not clear, or you'd like to get into more depth on some areas. Ahlan wa sahlan, you're welcome. Barakallahu feekum. Take it away, brother.
Jazakallah khair, Dr. Bilal Phillips, alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feek for that great message, inshallah ta'ala. So like Sheikh Bilal mentioned, inshallah ta'ala, we will open up the floor if anyone has questions. If you have questions, please write them in the chat box. And inshallah ta'ala, we will forward those questions here and read them off to Dr. Bilal so that he can answer them, inshallah ta'ala. Because of the way things were running in the beginning, alhamdulillah, I didn't know, see that I was sent Dr. Bilal's bio, but alhamdulillah, he gave part of his bio in his talk, inshallah ta'ala. The last part of the bio, which I think is also important, inshallah ta'ala, that I want to read, just, you know, and give time for some people to write some questions, inshallah ta'ala, is that mashallah, Dr. Bilal Phillips has written and translated and commented on over 50 published books on various Islamic topics. He has also presented Islamic programs on Riyadh Channel, Sharjah TV, Peace TV, Huda TV, Islam Channel in the UK, The Dean Show here in the USA, Chicago, and Guide Us TV. But perhaps the greatest single achievement, and the one for which he was listed in the Jordanian publication, the 500 Most Influential Muslims, mashallah, is his historic founding of a mega university from Doha, Qatar, the Islamic Open Online University, now known as International Open University, which since its inception in 2010 has over 500,000 students registered from 228 different countries around the world. Alhamdulillah. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept that effort and place it on your scales, Sheikh Bilal, and that you find him completely pleased with you, and that you are from those that he says, udukhulu bis-salam, enter in peace and tranquility, alhamdulillah, bi-ghayri hisab, and without any reckoning. Ameen. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll ask the first question. I don't see that anything has come in just yet. Sometimes people are shy. Sometimes we hear that individuals ask this particular question, where they say, if I study online, will my education of my Islamic education be just as legitimate as if I went overseas to a Medina, to a Azhar, et cetera, inshallah ta'ala, due to my situation of not being able to travel overseas and study overseas, inshallah?
Alhamdulillah, the content, you know, you will be able to get the content from scholars who we have, you know, engaged to present the various topics, the various subjects, etc. It's there, no doubt. And in the end, it's about you, how you commit yourself to your studies. You know, if you study as you studied in school, you know, just revising at the last minute before the final exams, you know, you're just trying to get through as quickly as possible to get the piece of paper, then, hey, you know, it may not be very beneficial, you know. Just as if you went there and did it and, you know, you came out with the paper, you know. If you're sincere, you can get. Of course, the scholars that we have are the best that we could find. who were able to convey the information in English medium. Alhamdulillah, you know, there are PhDs or masters, etc., from graduates from the Medina University and other universities in the Muslim world. So the quality of the knowledge ultimately is the same. And what it provides for you is convenience. There, you know, it being online and in English medium is convenience. But reality is that if you're studying in English medium, and in Medina you would be studying in Arabic medium, obviously, your command of Arabic is not going to be the same. Your Arabic is going to be stronger. And having studied, if you're studied seriously, you know, it opens doors for you to do research into subjects in Arabic, which if you just take the Arabic that we give you, which is the basic Arabic to get you into college in Medina, then obviously your ability to go and research is going to be much harder. This not means that you can't research, but it's just, you know, you have to put in extra time to build up your Arabic background to be able to access, you know, the books if you want to do research in different Islamic studies fields.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Another question, should I, you know, as a person seeking to gain knowledge, inshallah ta'ala, focus on the memorization of the Quran first before studying Islamic knowledge? Or should I go on to study Islamic knowledge and then try to memorize the Quran at the same time?
It depends on your age and the time that you have. You know, there's not a one answer that fits all. Traditionally, Muslim learning emphasized the learning of the Arabic first. Learning of the Quran first. You know, you memorize the Quran, then you go and you memorize hadiths, and then you go and seek knowledge. You know, you would go out to different parts of the Muslim world, sit under the scholars. Now you have a foundation from which to study from. Our times now, it depends. You know, if you're already grown, memorizing the whole Quran might not be so easy. It may be, you know, something that, you know, it's a mountain that you can't get over, you know. And you can memorize some, but bottom line is actually, the majority of the Sahaba when the Prophet ﷺ died hadn't memorized the whole Quran. Mm-hmm. And they taught the deen. They taught it to the next generation. So, you know, even in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when they were teaching, you know, learning and teaching to others, etc., the emphasis wasn't on memorizing the whole Quran. The emphasis was on memorizing Quran. What was available to you, memorize it, you know. And the stress was Surah Al-Baqarah, you know. In fact, the one who memorized Surah Al-Baqarah, according to the Sahaba, they said, we used to call him Hafiz.
MashaAllah.
You know, today now if you call somebody Hafiz, he only memorized Baqarah. What are you doing? You are, you know, you're putting down the huffaz. A'udhu billah. But that was the Sahaba. This is now, you know. Now we have put so much stress on memorization of the whole Quran, you know, that it has lost, to a large degree, it has lost its meaning in the Muslim communities today. You know, in some parts of the Muslim world, what parents will do is they will sit the family down, kids, and the father will say, you, Abdurrahman, your job is to memorize the whole Quran. The rest of us, we are going to go into business, we're going to establish this, you know, factories and whatever, we'll make our money and everything, but you just memorize the whole Quran. Don't worry about anything else. We'll take care of everything for you. You just memorize the whole Quran. Why? Because the Prophet said that the one who memorized the whole Quran, he can bring 7 of his family members into paradise with him. Sometimes they say it's 7 generations with him. You know, fabricated hadith, of course, there's no such hadith. But this is that people believe it, you know, and they do this regularly. So this memorizing Quran, or in Montreal, I remember a few years back, a mother beat her child to death. Little kid beat the child to death because the kid wasn't memorizing fast enough.
SubhanAllah.
His teacher was complaining he was not memorizing properly, and so she beat him and she killed him. Baby's gone, you know. Somehow this thing has now become so twisted and distorted. You know, we ask Allah to protect us. But if we have the chance to have our kids memorize Quran, you know, without turning it into a life and death situation, or thinking that it's going to take the rest of us to paradise, then it's a good thing. It's a good thing. MashaAllah, you know, 5 of my kids memorize the Quran, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah.
And pray that Allah blesses them for it.
Ameen.
It's not bad. It's not a bad thing to do. It's a good thing to do. If you're starting early, you know, and of course, I had the memorizing from their early age. But as an adult, if you're looking to go into Islamic studies, should you take the time out to memorize the whole Quran? It depends. If you're young enough, a young adult, early 20s, whatever, I'd say go for it. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Go and do it. It will help you. If you're studying in English medium, you can do it parallel. Whilst you're studying, you can memorize the Quran also. You know, even if you're doing it in Arabic, you could be memorizing at the same time. When we studied in Medina, they used to have us memorize 2.5 Jews every year, you know, and it's not the whole Quran, but, you know, it would get you through at least, you know, 10 Jews. So, mashallah, it's 1/3 of the Quran, and that should have been impetus for you to memorize the rest of the Quran. So it's a good thing if the circumstance is convenient, then alhamdulillah, and your age is younger, and it's practical, inshallah, and beneficial.
Inshallah. There's a sister here, our brother Nazirullah. He basically says, can you give him some tips to memorize Quran daily for a person, I guess, who's trying to work in balance between both, inshallah?
Well, I can suggest in the International Open University, we do have a section which is for Quran memorization, the GQMC section. And we have a number of different programs there. The latest program that we're introducing, I believe it's begun or it will be beginning this semester, is called One Day, One Ayah.
MashaAllah.
You know, for those people who, whenever, you know, they're encouraged to memorize the Quran, I don't have time, I'm busy. Can you memorize one ayah in a day? Okay, one ayah, yes, I can. Ayah. So, one ayah in a day is Baqarah in a year.
MashaAllah.
You know, it's Baqarah in a year. If you stick with it, one ayah, one day. So we have that program in place, as well as, you know, sections. You can choose the area you want to memorize, or you want to go for the whole Quran, we have it. Or if you've memorized the whole Quran, you want to get ijazah, we have it. You know, we have Huffaz, some 25 Huffaz. 14 of them are males, and 11 of them are females, female Huffaz. Majority of them are from Egypt. And alhamdulillah, you can set your own timings for the memorization. I would advise you to join that program, or in your, if there's, you know, usually most they have some tahfiz program going on in the masjid, or you have somebody come to your home and help you on a weekly basis or whatever. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Sister Nilka, she says, what are the best and or most important morning evening salutations that the Sheikh will recommend new Muslims or non-Arabic speaking Muslims who struggle with the Arabic language?
Well, the supplications, you know, supplications in and of themselves are supposed to be us opening up and reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for you to make morning and evening supplications yourself in your own language, that's perfectly fine. There are some which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended, which you may learn in Arabic, but even if you learn them in Arabic, my advice is that you should learn the meanings, their meanings, so that you're not just saying Arabic terms, you really don't understand what it means at all. So you're sort of thinking that these words in Arabic have some kind of power. The words in and of themselves have a kind of power, which in fact they don't have. It is the meaning and us expressing these thoughts, which the Prophet ﷺ gave us in the form of du'as, which benefit us by our reaching out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many. The best thing to do is to get the book called Hisnul Muslim, or the Fortress of the Muslim, in which the du'as are listed there. There are long ones, short ones. You take what is convenient for you and then learn it. This is the best approach.
MashaAllah. Sheikh, because I know we're coming upon the hour, inshallah ta'ala, and it's late over by you, inshallah ta'ala. The final question that I'll give you, inshallah ta'ala, because we talked about, translating into different languages and having Islam available in our language, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the messenger speaking the language of the people. What advice would you give to us, the Latinos, in terms of putting more importance, because we're like way behind the bar when it comes to having material in our language, inshallah ta'ala, let alone an educational institution or resource as such, inshallah ta'ala. We have a lot of students now going overseas and study, but still when they go back home, especially when it comes to Central South America, Puerto Rico, things of this nature, or the Caribbean, they're not spread out through that entire country. They're just in pockets of those countries. And if you don't have access to that part of the country, then you're still disconnected from the knowledge. And from what we've seen, and personally I've seen traveling through the Central and South America, and some of the Caribbeans, that the khutbas and the learning that's being done inside of the masajids are still in the Arabic language. Complete khutbas in Arabic language, no translations whatsoever. So what emphasis and, what advice can you give us as Latinos, inshallah ta'ala, and looking at this, importance and establishing this type of a legacy, inshallah ta'ala, for our people who are now considered to be the fastest nationality of people entering the fold of Islam currently?
Well, what you mentioned about khutbas in the masjid being given completely in Arabic, we all faced this when we came into Islam, and you know, in many places we still face it, you know. And I think though that many communities have managed now to give the khutbahs in English or half and half or something like this, because we always have to stress that the khutbah is not an act of ibadah in the sense of salah. I mean, it is supposed to be conveying a message, you know, educating the community, advising them, etc. And if you're speaking to them in a language they don't understand, then we have to question, well, what advice, etc., are you giving them? So I think those who come back, you know, if you're going into, you know, Latino communities where everybody does speak Spanish or Portuguese or whatever, you know, then it should be, khutbah should be given in the language of the people. You know, that's basic. Otherwise, the mass of the people will not be understanding and will not be benefiting from the khutbah. I mean, some people say, okay, we can give a talk before, you know, the Jummah. In some countries, they call it the bayan. You do a bayan beforehand. So you give whatever you have to give then, and then you do the khutbah in Arabic, you know, to make sure it's, well, it's better than not giving anything. But it's turning the Arabic into something more ritualistic, you know, which was not the intent. The Prophet ﷺ gave his khutbahs in Arabic because the people he was giving the khutbah to were Arabs. Can we think of the Prophet ﷺ giving the khutbah to, you know, non-Arabs, to Persians or Romans or Africans? You know, we know this is not practical. Islam doesn't ask for that. You know, Islam is beyond that. Anyway, in terms of trying to translate, as I said, the program which we offer, the Bachelor's of Arts in Islamic Studies, is trying to translate that into, you know, the languages of the community. I think this is an important step for the many who would not be able to learn Arabic on one hand, or even learn sufficient English to be able to understand on the other hand. So it's something worth people coming together and as an effort, a group effort, doing it. You know, the brothers and sisters in Indonesia, they have managed to do it, as I mentioned. In Urdu also, in Russian. And that option is there for the masses who would not get the chance to learn sufficient Arabic to study. So I would strongly recommend that from the Latino community, those who have the time or have the skills or whatever, you know, try to come together and do it as a group project. We at Islamic Online University or International Open University would help as much as we could for you to achieve this goal.
Inshallah. Mashallah, barakallahu feek. So inshallah, ta'ala, brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, you know, I'll end by saying that, you know, alhamdulillah, I believe that this is a great endeavor that's needed. It's a sadaqah to jariya that can be placed on your scale, inshallah, ta'ala, that you have no idea whom it will touch. And I'll personally, you know, share with you, everyone else, I've shared this with Dr. Bilal, that back in 1998, when I was in the depth of Jahiliyyah and in the darkness of this world, and searching for something, alhamdulillah, that another Puerto Rican brother came to me and actually gave me Sheikh Bilal's book on Tawheed, Kitabu Tawheed. It was actually the first Islamic book that I received in my search and my endeavor of looking to try to recognize who the creator was, alhamdulillah. And it was the book that, mashallah, guided me to finally accept Islam alongside reading the Quran and going back and reading the Bible and really finding, you know, those things that I needed to find within the Bible to finally convince my heart that, you know, this wasn't the right path for me, subhanAllah. And here I am 23 years later, alhamdulillah, sitting with Dr. Bilal Phillips, alhamdulillah, on the same platform. Never thought that this would happen, right? Alhamdulillah. But 23 years ago, mashallah, guided by his book, alhamdulillah. And then now 23 years later, blessed to, mashallah, be here on this platform with him, inshallah ta'ala, talking about the importance of Islamic knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. And this is how things are, subhanAllah, that, you know, if we do something sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't have any idea whose heart is going to touch, how many hearts it will touch, inshallah ta'ala. But if you do it sincerely, then inshallah ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will utilize you and your efforts, inshallah ta'ala, to reach out and bring Islam to others that you can't even imagine. And perhaps, Yawmul Qiyamah, you will see the benefit of all of that. So I encourage my Latino brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, so let's come together, inshallah ta'ala, and figure out a way on how we can get this program translated, inshallah ta'ala, so that our people have access to the Islamic resources and knowledge that is of great necessity for them to have access to. Alhamdulillah, we know that, mashallah, we have over 5-6 decades of Islam in our countries, alhamdulillah, some countries because of the Arabs coming there and living amongst us and establishing Islam there, alhamdulillah, and then it touching our, you know, it touching the hearts of the people who lived in those areas, alhamdulillah. And now, mashallah, it's time to make a transformation and begin to, mashallah, offer more resources to our people, inshallah ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, for those who are interested, feel free to contact me, inshallah ta'ala, or contact Dr. Bilal, inshallah, and we can see how we can make this happen. Dr. Bilal, Sheikh, barakallahu feek, for your time and for your effort, alhamdulillah. I know that time is precious, alhamdulillah, and it's laid over by you, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward you immensely for giving us some of your time, and may he place it on your scales of good deeds, inshallah ta'ala, and that he finds that you find him pleased with you and that you are always pleased with him and grateful to all to for all the bounty that he has given you, inshallah ta'ala, and that he keeps your heart and your feet and your soul and your mind always firm upon Iman, Islam, the Quran, and connected to him, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, if you have any questions that may pop up because you're watching this video after the live session and you have questions that come up, please feel free to send them in, inshallah ta'ala, and we can always forward those to Dr. Bilal and see if we can get them answered either verbally in a video or in written format, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. Hold on 1 second, Dr. Bilal.
Okay.
All right, bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, I forgot, inshallah ta'ala, that we had a very special video, inshallah ta'ala, that we wanted to show to all of you about a sister, inshallah ta'ala, who learned Islam, inshallah ta'ala. And I'm not going to say anything else. I want you to watch the video, inshallah ta'ala. And then from after the video, we'll come back on and we'll mention a few things, inshallah ta'ala. So, 1 minute, let me pull it up. Bismillah.
My name is AI Muhammad. I was born in Hawaii, but I grew up in a Canadian refugee, and when I was 2 weeks and a half years old, I got sick, and so I was taken to the doctor, and the doctor gave me a blood transfusion, and then I started bleeding from my mouth. I know it. And I went into a coma. And then after that, I could not walk or talk clearly. And I was treated for my dad. And then we came to America a year later. And I I thought I wanted to talk, like, are you still there? But I feel really ready to take you.
Hi, my name is Fatima Umar. I am a mother of Ayan Mahmoud. She told me, Mommy, I founded that school. And I say, okay. When I say okay, I don't want it to broke her heart, but I thought she cannot do it. And it's very difficult for her. After when she starting, I saw she starting, she working very well. No one help her except Allah. And she's amazing. It's miracle. I say it's miracle. Sometimes I'm cry. And I have knowledge for her. Yeah, I didn't know the Arabic ahkam. She teach me her now. When we saw her, we try. Everyone can do. If she do this amazing things.
SubhanAllah, Sheikh Bilal, tell us a little bit about Sister Ayan and this amazing journey, SubhanAllah, Al-Azim, that breaks the heart, SubhanAllah, and makes the heart also content and happy at the same time, SubhanAllah.
MashaAllah, you know, the bottom line is that Ayan has graduated.
Allahu Akbar.
She graduated from the International Open University, Islam Kana University. She completed all of her subjects, did her thesis for her bachelor's, because we have a bachelor's thesis. And inshallah, she'll be moving on to her master's. I mean, and this is alhamdulillah, the facilitation which comes from the internet, you know, that Allah has provided. And as you can imagine, she's struggling. She's able to move only two fingers.
SubhanAllah.
Two fingers.
SubhanAllah.
And she worked her way through all of her subjects, learning Arabic, studying fiqh and hadith, and, you know, memorizing, and mashallah, mashallah. So this is, you know, really, we say, if she can do it, nobody has an excuse for not doing it.
Nobody
has an excuse, really. So, mashallah, she completed her 4 years of study, and she stayed on it the whole time. She never gave up. Whatever difficulties she was faced with, she just continued. And as you said, her mother looks at it as a miracle. And now she teaches her mother.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.
So for all the viewers, you know, this this is a wake-up call. You know that when you go standing before Allah on the Day of Judgment, and He asks you about your knowledge, why you didn't get knowledge, and you say, oh, it's just too busy, you know, it's just too difficult, or whatever excuse you're going to bring, you know, you've seen Ayan, and you know what can be done.
Yeah. I have to convey it in Spanish, Sheikh. Queridos hermanos y hermanas, alhamdulillah, el video que vimos ahora mismo es de una hermana, Ayan. Y esta hermana tenía una enfermedad. Y esta enfermedad a ella ya le puso el cuerpo donde el cuerpo no estaba funcionando. El Sheikh Dr. Bilal dice que ella nada más podía mover dos dedos. Imagínate eso, que nada más puede mover los dos dedos. Pero ella tenía un deseo de adquirir conocimiento del Islam y a tener más, tú sabes, aprender más sobre su fe y acercarse por medio de ese conocimiento hacia su Señor. Y Allahu Akbar, ella no solamente empezó el programa con IOU, ¿verdad? La Universidad Internacional, ¿verdad? Abierta, pero que, subhanallah, ella terminó su bachillerato. Lo terminó, mashallah, lo completó, hizo su tesis, ¿verdad? Al fin de terminar ese certificado, esa licenciatura, alhamdulillah, y se graduó, subhanallah. Y como Dr. Bilal nos informó ahora mismo, que dice que cuando nos paremos enfrente de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala en el día del juicio, y Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nos pregunta qué hicimos, ¿verdad?, para esforzarnos a poder a adquirir este conocimiento, ¿qué le vamos a decir a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cuando tenemos, mashallah, una persona tan increíble y tan maravillosa como la hermana Ayan, que mashallah se sometió completamente y Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la ayudó? El conocimiento le llegó por medio de la ayuda de Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, que también nos enseña que en medio de las dificultades, en medio de la tribulación en cual estamos pasando, que a veces pensamos que no lo podemos hacer, pero que subhanahu rabbil a'la, glorificado sea Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, que si nos enfocamos, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala siempre abre las puertas para poder adquirir este conocimiento y acercarnos hacia él, y que, como Dr. Bilal dijo, no tenemos excusas ante Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Estamos sanos, mashallah, podemos utilizar los 10 dedos, mashallah, podemos movernos, podemos andar, podemos hablar bien, mashallah, estamos completamente saludable, subhanallah. Pero Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nos preguntará, y si nos estamos alejando de este conocimiento porque nada más somos vagos y no queremos a poner ese esfuerzo, vamos a ser preguntados. Por eso, mis queridos hermanos y hermanas, no pierdan esta oportunidad que tú tienes, inshallah, en tu vida de adquirir conocimiento mientras que, mashallah, estás saludable, mientras que estás joven, mientras que, mashallah, tiene la habilidad a hacerlo, porque llegará un tiempo en tu vida cuando no va a tener esa habilidad, inshallah, y en ese tiempo será muy tarde, inshallah. Barakallahu fik. Sheikh Bilal just basically explained to them the story and reiterated the words that you mentioned of, you know, for them to take advantage of their health and their time, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, mashallah, you know, the ability in every imaginable way that our sister doesn't have. You know, we have all of our faculties and they work perfectly. And, you know, we should try to use them while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has or gives us the ability to use them, because perhaps one day may come when we don't have the ability to use them anymore, and at that point it may be too late, inshallah ta'ala. Any other message, Sheikh, that you want to give the community, inshallah ta'ala, especially the Latino community, that I can translate into Spanish for you, Sheikh?
I think we've covered everything, inshallah. Allah bless you all, and it's good to hear that you know, the Islam is spreading rapidly among you. Of course, Muslims ruled Spain for 700 years. You know, what is Spain and Portugal? It's under Islamic rule for 700 years. So Islam is in your blood. You know, it's, inshallah you find your way back in spite of the efforts to try to erase it, you know, from the continent. Allah has brought it back, and you are a new generation, returnees to Islam. May Allah bless you all, and put on your scale of good deeds all your efforts to share this message. You know, as Prophet ﷺ had said, "Ballighu anni walau aya." Convey whatever you learn from me, even if it's only a single verse from the Quran. You know, that's the responsibility on your shoulders. We have done our part, and inshallah, we pray that Allah help you to do your part. Barakallahu fikum.
Mufik. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh nos dijo que inshallah ta'ala está muy agradecido, alhamdulillah, que el Islam ya está entrando en nuestros países, alhamdulillah, y que el Islam estaba ya en España por más de 700 años, so que Islam ya está en nuestra sangre, ¿verdad?, corriendo por nuestra sangre, inshallah ta'ala, y que aunque ellos trataron de borrar el Islam de nuestra sangre y de nuestra cultura y nuestra identidad, inshallah ta'ala, que mashallah, él nos da la bienvenida al regreso otra vez al Islam, inshallah ta'ala, y que la responsabilidad de nosotros, inshallah ta'ala, como el profeta sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dijo, que invita a la gente, si no es solamente con informándole de un solo verso, inshallah ta'ala, ¿verdad? Si eso es todo lo que uno sabe, inshallah ta'ala, pues usa eso para invitarle a la gente, inshallah ta'ala, y es nuestra responsabilidad. Ellos ya han hecho su responsabilidad de, mashallah, poner esta información en el inglés y en diferentes lenguajes, y ahora es nuestra oportunidad hacer lo mismo, inshallah ta'ala, y él le pide a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala que nos siga bendiciendo y que nos haga este camino fácil para nosotros, y que Dios nos bendiga a todos, mashallah. Jazakallahu khair, Sheikhana. Wa barakallahu fik.
Allah yabarak fik. Ta'afadakum.
Amin, jamia, inshallah. Taib. Para todos, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Que la paz y la bendición de Dios siempre esté con ustedes. May the peace and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. 1 minute, Sheikh Bilal. Assalamu alaikum.